Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
America needs a tidal wave of the old-time religion.
I have sinned against you.
How dare you!
We have no need to doubt God.
The heart of Babylon is preparing the nations to receive the Antichrist.
I didn't even build that house with money from the church. I built it with money from my book.
I don't make this stuff up.
Repenting of your sin.
It is a moral issue.
They got together and swore a pact to the devil.
I just enjoy seeing people worship, praising God.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to
Believe It
or Not,
the show where we believe it.
Or is it?
Or not.
Who knows?
You be the judge.
Check your toes. So recently, as of the release of this video, I released a video about the Bible and the Holy Word of God. And I
what was his Holy Word? Was it Amen?
It was hang tight.
Hang tight.
I'll be right there. Right.
Cool runnings, dudes.
Cool. Yeah. But I mentioned that there's a number of contradictions in the Bible.
Really?
Yeah. There's.
I thought it was pretty like tight and well edited.
You'd think that.
Yeah.
But God's got a lot on his plate, I guess.
Yeah, like double helpings of turkey,
yep.
Mashed potatoes,
yep.
Green bean casserole, I don't know, parsnips?
Yeah, he's got some parsnips.
Probably cranberry jelly.
Turtle soup.
Turtle soup, yeah. Yeah, you can't really get that anymore. No. Yeah.
But I mentioned a couple, but I thought we'd go through some more. And it's not going to be it's not going to be a full list of all the contradictions in the Bible. Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about a few of them.
This
is a little teaser taster for those looking to crack open the good book.
Yeah.
For your next weekend read or Oprah's book club meeting.
I feel like we've talked about this too, as like we used to do a little bonus thing about Bible contradictions.
Yeah, this does sound familiar.
Yeah, but we've never done a full episode.
No.
So there might be some overlap, but you know what?
Think of it as a trip down memory lane. Also, if you are someone who does study the Bible, you do the same thing every time you go to church and Bible study. You read the same stuff over and over again.
Over and over again.
So why do we have to be different?
And you skip the same stuff over and over again.
Interesting.
I was also watching a video that was explaining the NIV, so the New International Version, is... I didn't realize this is the Bible my family had. It was made by the evangelicals, and they get rid of a lot of the contradictions. They just kind of edit them out.
Oh.
And there's like a footnote in the bottom, like, actually it said this, and their justification was that the contradictions are probably due to translation errors, so they're fixing back to what it probably was originally.
What?
Yeah. So there wasn't actually, originally in the original manuscripts, they say there were no contradictions, but it's just like as people. Like,
so they're saying it's a translation error. So shouldn't they just do a new translation?
Yeah, but
the
they
original?
Say that the original manuscripts are gone. So they're
okay.
They're guessing that this is what the original
so
manuscripts probably said. Yeah.
Right.
They're just trying to get rid of any contradictions.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
No, I understand. Yeah. I just, I don't get it.
Yeah.
You know?
But still, the NIV has a lot. Because they didn't get rid of all of them.
Right.
But
are we doing the NIV?
We'll touch on the NIV.
What,
but
like, okay, so how many different versions of the Bible are there right now? I know I've heard of the King James.
There's like 100 of them.
The NIV,
hundreds,
you know?
Probably.
Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Those are New like Revised Standard Version is one of the...
New Revised. So these just all sound like
reliable.
The same thing with like
yeah.
slight... You know, like when you get in a textbook and you're like, oh, you need the 5th edition,
yeah.
not the 4th edition.
Even like we... I've read from my old Bible... Mm-hmm. on the podcast, and then when I go to put the verse on the screen for the viewer at home, and I look up the NIV online, it's changed since the version from 1994 or whatever that I have.
Which is a weird thing to happen to a book that's supposedly the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Doesn't that feel a little strange to you?
Yeah, you'd think that one NIV to another NIV or one King James to another King James would be the same, but
that
a lot of times that's not even the case.
That there should be just one version
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
Not hundreds.
Yeah.
Huh.
But
wow.
Here we are, folks.
Here we are.
Is Jesus God?
Mm.
And are God and Jesus the same? In John 10, it says, my Father and I are one. And then in John 14, it says, my Father is greater than I.
Okay, so how can you be one? Well, Maybe it's like a you know, like a conjoined twin situation.
Oh, they're the same.
They're well, the same, but one is like, I don't know, cooler or something.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But they're not the same person. They just have some of the same organs.
Yeah, but I mean, as a unit, I guess they're one.
Like a married couple.
Yeah, like
to the Lord.
Like a married couple. Sure,
yeah.
that's probably a better example than what I'm trying to say. Something probably horribly offensive, and I apologize.
But yeah, I think that's the argument a lot of Christians make, is that it's like, well, it's talking about the Trinity, so they are one, but there's a hierarchy within the Trinity. So
how can you be one and then also have a hierarchy in it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you see God? Well, in Genesis 32, verse 30, it says, I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Whereas in John 1, verse 18, it says, no man has seen God at any time.
Who said they saw God?
Probably Moses.
Moses, okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's no man.
He's no man.
He is a Superman.
That's true.
I don't know. I mean, that's something. So Genesis is the Old Testament, right?
Yeah.
And is John New Testament?
John's New Testament, but it's
okay.
Like no man has seen God at any time.
Mm.
But you also believe that the Old Testament is true?
Right. Well, you could say no man has seen God at any time except that one time.
Except that one time, yeah.
Yeah. It's like with language. There's always an exception to the rule.
Yeah. Like we used to play... Never Have I Ever in Bible College.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
like not a drinking game, but like a icebreaker game.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it would be like in the circle. But there was one person who was like, it's the first week at college. They're trying to look cool. So like...
Never Have I Ever
their
Seen
thing
the Face
was
of God.
They only wear Vans, slip-ons.
Okay.
That was like their cool thing because they are super cool. But,
you're wearing a pair
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, I'm wearing a pair right now. But they... Instead of saying something they have never done, they kept saying, I have never in the last 3 years worn shoes that have... And it's like, that's not how I have never works.
No.
But, yeah.
Did you let it slide?
We didn't let it slide.
Good.
We let it slide.
Okay, good.
Yeah. That's not how it works, lady. Mm. Does God change?
Does he?
Well, in Malachi 3, verse 6, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not. But in Exodus 32, verse 14, it said, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people.
For which he thought to do?
Yeah, God wanted to do evil to his people, then changed his mind and repented.
Well, I mean, I gotta say, at least he's holding himself accountable for thought crime. Like,
that's true.
They want to hold people accountable for thought crime.
Yeah.
Right? So I guess that's at least fair.
Yeah. But that means he has changed.
I changed not. Just sounds like he's gaslighting you.
Yeah, it really does. Mm-hmm. In Matthew 19, verse 26, it says, with God, all things are possible. Very famous verse. But then in Judges 1, verse 19, it says, the Lord was with Judah, and he drove out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron.
Wow. God. Is that why we don't see God anymore? Because we drive cars, which are the modern day chariots of iron.
Exactly.
Wow, makes
God's
sense.
God's scared of them.
He's scared of cars.
Yeah.
Maybe he never got his driver's license. Mm-hmm. I guess Jesus never took him out on the road to do a road test.
Or like when Jesus would take him out, he got nervous easily and start freaking
out
at God.
That's okay. Yeah. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
James 1, verse 13 says, let no man say he is tempted. I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. And then in Genesis 22, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham.
I was going to say, doesn't he always play shit like that?
Yeah.
Where he's like doing weird tricks and saying like, I'm going to test them by tempting them.
That's the whole story of Job is like, I'm going to play some games with this little guy.
And much like, you know, back to your video on Satan.
Yeah.
That whole thing. Didn't he like, isn't, I know they say that he, it's such a convoluted bullshit, but.
Yeah.
If he is the creator of all things, he created Satan,
yeah.
and then he is now tempting people with Satan, right? Yeah,
exactly.
So he controls that, whether you want to believe it or not.
Yeah, even by allowing him to be there.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and it's to test us, apparently.
Yeah, that's tempting people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like if you're one of those people who like want to test your partner, so you create a fake Instagram account and send them a sexy message.
What?
You hear about this when people like
no.
make a fake Instagram account to test their partner to see if they would cheat?
Man, you got to be either A, really insecure, or B, in a very terrible relationship, I think, if you're at that point.
Exactly. But that's what God seems like.
Why not both?
Why not both? In Psalm 92, it says, the righteous shall flourish. But in Isaiah 57, it says, the righteous shall perish from the earth.
Well, are they saying that they're going to perish from the earth and flourish in heaven, though?
Oh, maybe.
Because isn't that what they want, right? They want the rapture to happen and then to go up to heaven.
But the Old Testament didn't really have a theology of afterlife.
Oh, shit. So then what are they... So are you supposed to be righteous or are you not supposed to be righteous?
I think you're supposed to be righteous, but just know that your days are numbered.
Be good because you're going to die.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the truth, but...
You see the... remember the Old Testament and they had the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
Starring Charlton Heston?
Yeah.
Old Testament?
Number one, don't drink and drive.
Yeah, number one, don't drink and drive.
Because God's afraid of cars.
Yeah. honor thy father and mother, Exodus 20, verse 12. But then in Luke 14, verse 26, it says, if any man came to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple.
Wait, so he's, what? So you're supposed to hate everybody so you can be God's disciple?
Yeah, you're supposed to walk away from everybody in your family and hate them. And just follow Christ and hate your family and your brothers and your sisters and your children and your wife and just leave them all behind and follow Jesus.
Man, that's pretty bleak.
Yeah. Also in the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 20, verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Uh-huh.
But then in Romans 14, verse 5, it says, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind.
So it's basically saying do whatever you want.
Yeah, do whatever the fuck you want.
I mean, okay.
It's obviously like an argument for why they switched to Sunday from Saturday.
Right.
But it's still going against the Ten Commandments, even though Jesus said that not one law shall be rewritten.
Except the ones that were.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So were they just doing away the Sabbath so they could get more shit done? Is that all it is?
Yeah. No, they switched to Sunday to celebrate the resurrection. And also, it was probably easier to meet together on a Sunday. because right. not everybody was in the church, the Jewish church, temple, synagogue.
Yeah.
Exodus 20, verse 13, in the Ten Commandments says, "Thou shalt not kill." But then in Exodus 32, verse 27, it says, "Thus saith the Lord of Israel, but put every man his sword by his side, and slay every man his brother, companion, and neighbor."
Why? What? Why would they? Is this back to hating everybody so you can?
Yeah, this is back to like, okay, well, this is like we're in Israel and we're gonna kill all the enemies so that we can get this piece of land.
But you shouldn't kill. Unless it's for some good reason.
Speaking of killing people, what about, speaking of swords, actually, then Jesus said unto him, this is in Matthew 26, verse 52, mm-hmm. Then said Jesus unto him, "Put away again thy sword unto its place, for all that take the sword shall perish."
All they that take the sword shall perish with the sword.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, so if you pick up a sword, you'll die by the sword.
Yeah.
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 That's like the warrior code.
Exactly. And then Luke 22 says, "Then said unto he unto them, but now he hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one."
I don't know. What is that saying exactly?
That's saying to sell all what you have so that you can buy a sword. If you have a nice garment, sell it so you can buy a sword, because we all need to have a sword.
Okay. So Matthew wants to...
Put away the sword.
Put away the sword, but Luke's like, nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Arm
everybody.
In Matthew, it's more about peace, because it says in Matthew 10, verse 34, "Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came to send... I came not to send peace, but a sword." Oh, so it's like the opposite. So, yeah, it's all over the place. "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword." And then in John 16, it says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace."
Okay, so Matthew is saying that he's not there to send peace. He's there to send a sword. But if you pick up a sword, you're going to die by the sword.
Yeah.
And then Luke is saying that if you don't have a sword, you should buy one, because you're going to be fucked if you don't have one.
Yeah.
Also, it also says, "Then said he unto them." Is that Jesus saying that unto them?
Yeah, Jesus. Okay. Yeah.
He's all over the place,
eh? All over the place, yeah.
How drunk was he?
Pretty drunk, I think.
Probably.
Like this one. "Rejoice not when the enemy falleth." This is from Proverbs 24, verse 17. "Rejoice not when the enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth." And then in Psalm 58, it says, "The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked."
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a dark twist.
Yeah.
No, don't feel bad. Don't be glad when your enemy dies. And then it's just like, bathe in his blood. Oh, God. All right.
Proverbs 12, verse 22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord."
Mm. And then first loose lips sink ships.
Exactly.
What's that?
That's from the Bible, too.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's from Proverbs as well, I think. But in 1 Kings 22, verse 23, it says, "The Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee." So don't lie, but I can.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
God causes his prophets to lie. As a prank, but
this sounds like it's back to the whole temptation thing and confusing people.
Yeah.
So if God's putting those lies in their mouths, you can't blame them for being wrong.
Exactly.
Because it's the word of God.
Word of God. God's lying through them. Yeah.
So if it's the word of God, but it's a lie, and you're supposed to believe the word of God, it's not a lie.
Yeah.
That's what I would think.
And
you can't get mad at somebody for listening to your words, even if it is a lie.
Peter 2, verse 13 says, "Submit yourself to every ordinance of man, to the king as supreme, or unto governors." But then in Acts 5, verse 29, it says, "We ought to obey God rather than man."
Well, kings, right, are like, you know, God's representation on earth, right?
That's true, yeah.
I don't know about governors.
Yeah, maybe not. Mm. I don't know why governors reminded me of, you know, what's her name? Danielle Smith, the Alberta premier.
Yes.
She thought that Canadian premiers were equal in power to American governors, and she thought she could just pardon people. So she was just trying to pardon people, and then found out she couldn't do it.
You're pardoned. A pardoned. A pardoned. Yeah. Pardon me.
Pardon. Pardon.
Pardon. Pardon.
You know, you love incest. Is that you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
I was trying to remember who's you.
Actually, maybe it was.
Okay. Could have sworn. But anyways, cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. But also...
Wait. So... Wouldn't that be his sister anyway?
Yeah, his sister or his stepsister or his half-sister or...
It's all the same thing.
Yeah, that's in Deuteronomy 27, verse 22.
Don't and Deuteronomy your sister.
Don't Deuteronomy. And then also in Leviticus 20, it says, and if a man shall take a sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, it is a wicked thing.
Okay, so Deuteronomy and Leviticus are on the same page.
Yeah, but also Abraham was married to his sister.
Oh, shit.
And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah, my wife, I bless her and give thee a son also of her.
Well, there weren't as many people when Abraham was there, though, right? There was only, like, what, six people?
No, Abraham, there was quite a lot of people.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, there was, like, a whole Egypt. And also, like, yeah, because the Bible doesn't exist without incest, like, after Noah's Ark and after
Adam. Well, I guess if God picks someone, it's okay. But in general, it's not good.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
How long is the earth going to last? Well, in Ecclesiastes 1, verse 4, it says, the earth abideth forever. Mm. But in 2 Peter 3, verse 10, it says, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are herein shall be burned up.
Whoa.
I mean, that's true.
Whoa, it's happening right now.
Yeah.
We're on fire.
We had 4 days last week, like worldwide, that were the hottest days in
on record
history.
Yeah.
Four.
Mm-hmm. It's only going to get worse.
But global warming's not a thing.
No, it's just the temperatures in the world are just a little hotter.
Oh, yeah.
Across the board.
Yeah.
And consistently getting hotter.
Yeah.
So that's different.
That's
though.
Different. Oh yeah.
You know, that's just it's just what we call hothouse.
Yeah.
And spicy earth theory.
People think that recorded history was so what in the last 100 years? No, like we're talking last like millennia.
Yeah, we have records of a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't and you can tell other than just records, like this is the hottest day.
Sure. But I mean, even if the records are just like from say the 1850s, yeah. That's a long time.
That's a long time, yeah.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
In James, it says that, but But I should have gotten a different translation. I can
but
already.
Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith works without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?
And then in Romans it says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father was pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works basically James is saying Abraham was justified by works. Romans is saying, nah. So Romans and James are this, it's an argument. Like those two books disagree with each other. It's almost like one was written as a rebuttal to the other one.
Okay.
Like, and it's about the whole works versus faith.
This is the whole one where he was going to kill his son and then God's like, JK, lol.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So James is saying that he's justified because he was listening to God. But,
yeah.
Who's the other one?
Romans. They say it was written by Paul, but...
Okay, he's the one saying, like, he's not just... So what is he saying then? Is he saying that Abraham was wrong? And that
Abraham was justified by his faith in God, that God would fix the situation.
Oh, okay.
So James is saying that Abraham was saved by God because he did the deed that God asked him to do, and it was his works and his actions that saved him. But then Paul, or whoever wrote Romans, is saying that actually it was because he had faith in God, and the works part of it had nothing to do with it.
But wasn't the works because of his faith?
Yeah.
So it sounds like they're just arguing the same thing.
They are, yeah.
Okay.
But it's still a contention in the church. Like, people still argue about faith versus works, even though both options are in the Bible.
But what I don't get is that you're doing those works because of your faith.
Yeah.
They're a symptom of each other. It's not like, I'm doing those works, but I don't believe in God. You're doing those works because you believe in God, so therefore they are an extension of your faith.
Yeah, and like the way people do it is like just to shame people for being nice. Like if you're volunteering or something like that, and they're like, I hope you're not doing that because you think God's going to save you because of that, because God just saves you by your faith. But
which is weird, because don't they always like try and preach charity and kindness and stuff like that?
Not these guys.
Oh, not these guys.
Yeah, not the Baptists.
Not the Baptists.
Well, I mean, it depends on the Baptists. Not the independent Baptists.
Yeah, and that's pretty depressing.
Yeah. In 1 Corinthians, it says, every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head.
Uncovered. Okay. So she's got to wear a little hat.
Yeah, she's got to wear a little hat, which is one of the reasons church hats exist. But so that gives the impression that women are allowed to pray and prophesy in church. But then in 1 Timothy 2:12, it says, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over a man, but to be in silence.
Fucking Timothy.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Fuck you, Timothy.
Some Old Testament contradictions.
Burnt offerings.
Yeah, in Jeremiah 7, verse 22, it says, for on the day that I brought your ancestors out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to them or command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But then, so he's saying, yeah, I didn't tell them to do burnt offerings.
Okay.
And then there's multiple verses in the Bible of God saying to do burnt offerings, like in Exodus 29, verse 42, It shall be a regular burnt offering throughout your generations at the entrance of the tent or meeting before the Lord.
So he's like, I didn't say that.
Yeah, and then he's like, nah, I didn't say it.
I didn't fucking say that. Shut up.
Yeah.
You're dumb.
Saul had a daughter. King Saul had a daughter named Michal. And in 2 Samuel 6:23, it says that she had no children until she died. But then in 2 Samuel 21, same book, verse 8, it says, but the king took the two sons of Rizpah and the five sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul. So she had no children until she died, but also she had five sons.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe she gave birth to them and she died in childbirth.
Oh, she had quintuplets.
She had quintuplets and died in childbirth. That
it's
would
make funny
sense.
Because like things like that are how Christians get past. Bart Ehrman wrote a number of books about how the Bible contradicts itself and other things criticizing the Bible.
Yeah. I think it'd be fun to be a Christian just so you can have these, aha, see, it works because of this.
Yeah. But he gives an example. I saw one example where he was talking about how if one account says somebody flew somewhere and another account says somebody walked somewhere.
Okay.
The way Christians would justify it is, well, he was probably walking on the plane. He probably, like, while he was on the plane, he was walking back and forth that way. You can say, well, he was walking the whole way, so he walked there.
No.
No. Obviously, nobody speaks like that. Nobody would do that, but that's how people justify these two different things. Actually, another example, I talked about this in one of the videos I made where somebody had a, basically, like, a Rube Goldberg excuse for why Judas died two separate ways because
Judas resurrected and then killed again?
No, what he said was that okay, so like in Matthew 27 it says that he threw the money at the feet of the people who paid him the 30 pieces of silver.
Yeah.
And then used the money. I thought I actually had the verses here, but it doesn't matter. And then he used the money to buy a potter's field. And then this field is named for Jesus' blood because it was bought with blood money. So that's why they call it that. And then he hung himself. But in Acts, it says that he... Sorry, I'm mixing these two. I'm just going to read the actual passages. Sorry, one second here.
That's okay. Take your time.
Okay. So it says, early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans to how to have Jesus executed. So they bound him, led him away, and hanged him. Okay, so when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed the innocent blood. And then it says, yeah, chief priest did a do. And then it said, and that's why, okay, so they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field and bury a place for foreigners. That's why it is called the Field of Blood to this day. With the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. But in the other passage, it says that the priest bought the field with the money that he returned to them.
Yeah.
There he fell headlong. His body burst open. So in the other version, it says that he hung himself. In this version, he fell headlong. His body burst open, and all the intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called the field, in their language, Field of Blood.
How did his guts all spill out?
I don't know. Because he fell headlong, so maybe he fell off a cliff?
Yeah, but maybe, I guess.
But it's a field.
Yeah, I'm just confused. Like, he fell headlong, but his guts all popped out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Very strange. Oh, hello, Jagger.
Hey,
how you doing, bud?
Aw. This is nice.
This is the first time he's come out in a while.
Yeah. And he's just hanging.
He is just hanging. Hey, buddy.
Hey.
Hey.
So they're very different stories. One, yeah.
Yep.
But in the one, they said, oh, he probably hung himself. And then when he hung himself, the rope broke and he fell off a cliff. And then his blood spilled out.
Fell off a cliff. It's so funny.
Not addressing the fact that the one, they obviously both had legends around why they called it the Field of Blood. And they both already had legends about it's because of Judas, but they have completely different origin stories, which you see in any small town that has like a scary story.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah. Was this a prequel to Field of Dreams?
Yeah, it was.
Makes sense. Wow.
Yeah. And then let's see here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Knowing the Holy One is insight. That's in Proverbs. And then Ecclesiastes say, don't be too just and don't be too wise. You could end up being betrayed. But don't live bad and don't act like a fool. You could be death before your time has come. The best is to maintain the one while not losing the other. Who fears God maintains the middle ground between the two. So, like, don't fear God, because you won't be very wise.
But
also fear God, because that's...
Yeah, but don't you have to fear God because of all the retribution and murder he wants to do and eternal damnation? Because, I mean, yeah. But then that all comes back to just like, well, the only reason you're being good is so he doesn't send you to hell.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't sound like a good guy.
I want to say, I think other listeners need to know what's happening here, is that Jagger is the shyest cat in the world, but he has come out to just be friends with Damien and is rubbing up against Damien's legs. This has never happened with another human being that's visited before.
He has done it before.
Yeah.
Once, but this was like almost a year ago.
Yeah.
And then it just never happened again. And I've been coming over more frequently and he hasn't shown himself, but today he's feeling good.
Good boy. What a good boy.
Oh, good boy.
Yeah, so there's two genealogies for Jesus.
Yeah, I dream of genealogy.
And they have different people, some different people, some same people, different number of people between David and Jesus being born. Both passages say this is through Joseph's line to show that Jesus was a descendant of David. They have different people.
But didn't Joseph have nothing to do with this?
Exactly. But that wasn't thought of till later, the virgin birth thing. So
right, because then he's just like the stepfather.
Yeah, he's the stepfather. But the way people argue is that one's from Mary and one's from Joseph, and that's how they rectify the two. But both verses say that they're both Joseph.
Well, it could be a case of inherited will.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah. Or it could just be they're made up.
Oh, that too. Yeah. It could be both.
And like one of them has somebody as the other person's son, and the other one has them as like their reverse. Like,
okay, strike father. That, reverse it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of errors there. Let's see. And there's a lot of ones with numbers, like Joachim. When he became king, according to 2 Kings, he was 18 years old, but according to 2 Chronicles, he was 8 years old when he became king.
And, it's a big difference.
Yeah. Ahaziah was...
Ahaziah was
2 and 20 years old.
Okay.
2 and 20, so 22 years old when he became king, according to 2 Kings.
2 and 20? Just say 22.
Yeah, just say 22.
Just say 22.
2 Chronicles, he was 42. Another big...
40 and 2? Yeah. Just say 42.
Just say 42. That's how old I am.
Oh, wow.
So I could say I'm 22, according to the Bible.
That's true. Are you a...
king in the castle.
A royal ascension?
Yeah, I'm the king in my castle.
Ahaziah.
Actually, Jaeger's the king, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. So you're just a little prince?
Yeah.
Little prince.
How many horsemen did David capture?
4.
Well, according to 2 Samuel, it was 700, but according to 1 Chronicles, it was 7,000.
Okay.
How many stalls did Solomon have for his horses? According to 2 Chronicles, it was 4,000.
Okay.
And according to 1 Kings, it was 40,000.
These are big differences.
Yeah. How many animals were on the ark? According to Genesis 6, there was 2 of each animal, clean or unclean, even though this was years before God made the law of what was clean and wasn't clean.
Right.
And Genesis 7, that says that there were 7 of each clean animal in the ark. 7 of each kind of bird and 2 of each kind of unclean animal.
Right. And 7 by 7.
Oh. Careful, buddy. Don't scratch.
This just surprised me.
Yeah, so a lot of mistakes and contradictions.
I'd never heard the 7 animals.
Yeah, and we were always told that that was for food. Like the reason they're...
Oh, they had extras.
Yeah, they had extras for food.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
what did the animals
that's
eat?
That's just another way to fit it all in there and
right.
apologetics and yeah. Yeah, and like, so we also have like each gospel has their own version of the resurrection. Each very different.
Okay.
People witnessed it, different amount of angels who were there or no angels who were there. I mean, that one could be by like, oh, well, this person who wrote it only saw the one angel because God only revealed the one. But still, right. like, yeah, different people found him first. Sometimes it was the women, sometimes it was the men. So
right.
that's all different. It also had a different time that he was crucified. In Mark, it says he was crucified on the 3rd hour, which is like 9 in the morning. And then... John doesn't have him even being offered up for crucifixion till the 6th hour, so like later in the day. And that's, yeah.
Hey. Just nobody can agree on a time.
No.
That's fair.
Because it's almost like it's just a story.
Right.
Yeah.
So, see, this is something that I can see people, well, I don't know if I can see people argue. But my point is just like, well, because it's a story, then why don't you just agree? With what everyone's saying. But then they'd be like, well, they can't agree because it happened and no one really knows exactly.
Yeah, that was the apologetic I always heard in Bible college was like, well, if you're talking about something that happened 50 years ago and you're telling your friends and one person's telling their friends, they're going to have a little, there's going to be differences in the story.
Yeah.
But you're also not the word of God.
Such a meatball.
Hey, buddy.
Oh. Rough day, eh?
Yeah, you got a lot going on, hey?
Yeah. Is he, like, asserting dominance now?
I don't know. He's been very cuddly lately. He's been,
that's
very
fair.
Much, like, just hey, Jackie. Falling into my arms and falling asleep kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
that's nice.
You know, we had a rough go when I switched his food, when I put him on a diet.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's, we're in a better friendship mode now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So he's gotten used to his food?
Yeah. He likes it now.
That's right. Yeah. I didn't scare him, man.
And I adjusted the scheduling. I think that was part of it, too. Just
his schedule was off?
Yeah.
Now he's feeling a little better?
Yeah.
That's good.
So let's see. Yeah, there's probably a lot more contradictions. I mean, there is a lot more contradictions, yeah. But those are some of the surface-level ones, some of the obvious ones. There's also a lot of theological things that just don't add up.
Right.
And, Any thoughts on contradictions?
Well, it just sounds like they needed a good editor.
Yeah.
And they didn't have one.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes, you know, I'm all for authors going back and fixing mistakes, but it seems like that's not going to happen with this one. Well, I mean, I guess it is happening because we have all these different versions that are retconning,
yeah,
and, you know, trying to make things more, I don't know, woke?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, too, like, yeah, there's different stories, like, there's two different accounts of mm-hmm. who killed Goliath, and right. then the NIV just puts in, it was the brother of Goliath in the second story.
Brother of Goliath?
Yeah, so they change it so that it's not another person besides David killing Goliath.
Bro-Liath.
The brother, yeah.
Oh. Okay.
And they have fixes like that, and there's a bunch of apologetics. Mm. And it's like, you'd expect different, like, old books like that to have slightly different accounts. Like, that's,
sure.
It makes sense as documents, old documents. Yeah, there's going to be different, there's going to be errors and stuff like that. But you don't expect it from the inerrant word of God.
Yeah, that's the part that's most troubling, I find. I mean, if this is something that is supposed to be like a historical record, sure, there's going to be some contradictions and some questions. But something that people take as the infallible word of God and they base their lives around it, and then they try and push legislation around it,
yeah,
so it's other people's lives, I think that's where the issue for me comes in.
Exactly. Sorry, folks, I was even rustling my treat bag.
If you can't even agree in your own fucking book,
yeah, exactly,
then I don't know what you want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Your book doesn't agree with itself. It's arguing with itself. So no wonder they're all arguing with themselves.
And hey,
yeah,
as a work of nonfiction, I'm fine with that. Contradictions, yeah, interpretation, yes, yeah, that is what art does. That's how you work with,
yeah,
it. This is supposed to be an infallible document,
yeah,
from a holy being.
Yeah.
That is not a work of art. It's a very different thing.
Yeah.
It should not have all these mistakes and,
exactly,
contradictions. It should not.
And like you said, people are trying to control the world with it, so we should be able to criticize it.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Another thing, too, I think a lot of times people think that any criticizing is just us picking on them or mocking them for their beliefs.
No.
And it's like, there's part of me,
yeah,
gets that. But yeah, no, we're not. It's like, this is you're presenting this as an infallible book, and yeah, so we're looking at it and saying, well, it's not.
It's also one of those things where it's just like, if you were presenting it as an infallible book and it had no bearing on anybody else's lives, I don't,
yeah,
give a shit.
Yeah.
I don't care. The problem is that it is so entrenched in our culture and lives, whether we want it to be or not, and there are so many people who are trying to make it more so and use it to push whatever agendas they are doing,
yeah,
that is damaging to people. That's the issue.
Exactly.
That's why we make fun of it. That's why we're calling them out, and that's why we're trying to have some accountability.
Yeah.
Something that is supposed to be like a higher authority should be held to a higher standard.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Oh, hello.
Being pawed at.
He's been a weirdo.
Aggressively.
But speaking of weirdos, should we thank our patrons?
Oh, might be a good idea. Hey.
Oh my God, wow, thank you so much.
Oh,
wow.
thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, everybody, welcome to our Bible study.
Thank you so much for coming on this, the day of our Lord's Bible to be studied. That's what we say.
Studying it away. Study even the parts that contradict yourself.
That's right.
We're gonna study that.
We've all been waiting for the highly anticipated sequel. It still hasn't, yeah, come, so instead we're just going to keep rereading and re-looking at all the good juicy bits that's already here in front of us.
Amen.
Amen.
Should we pray? Should we do some prayer?
Let's pray away our anticipation for Bible 2.
Amen.
Amen. So first of all, we'd like to pray and thank our good friends Megan and Patricia and CT, and let's not forget Stephen. Lara, Adrian, and of course, Carrie.
Mm. And CT, I actually had a CT in the in the fall. I had a CT scan.
Oh.
So.
CT, Connecticut. It's a state.
John, I have a prayer request for John.
Oh.
John is always, he uses the Bible as his inspiration in life. Mm-hmm. But the only problem is because there's so many contradictions in the Bible, John does both.
Right.
So it gets very confusing. Mm. And it's not just what the Bible says he does both. He, like, whatever he does in life, he also has to do the contradiction of it, because he figures that's the way the Bible's written, so that's the way I have to live.
You're covering all bases, I understand it, but too pious, some might say.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So what, he'll do something good, and then he'll do something evil right away, because it's mm-hmm. like, well, I gotta do both, because I have to follow the Bible, so it's...
Be right at a net zero then.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a lot, and we just lift John up in prayer today.
Lift him up, John. Lift him up. Mm-hmm. And I've actually have a special prayer request for our friend Simply Snaps. Now, the band at our last service was playing a beautiful, beautiful song for our Lord and Savior. And at the end, everyone let out a huge amen, and there was a light smattering of claps, but Simply Snaps started snapping. Hmm. And I just got to say, listen, this isn't one of those heathenistic jazz clubs where they're playing the devil's music with their rhythm and their dancing and all that stuff. That's not what this is about. We're here for worship and praise. So Simply, if you could just please refrain from snapping at the end of a song. You're confusing all of us here and making us think impure thoughts about dancing to Toots McGovern.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
So we lift them all up, and we also are going to do some Christian rock lyrics.
Ah.
Can't you see you're not making Christianity better? You're just making rock and roll worse.
All right, so this song is called Living Word, and it's a song by Jeremy Camp, who I think is a returning champion. I think we've done Jeremy Camp before.
Ooh, Jeremy Camp, the returning champ. I think we have done him.
Yeah. Camp champ.
In
this life, there is one guarantee. Biting. Jagger, go away.
No biting.
Jagger, you don't need to bite.
Oh, now he's big dogging me.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
In this life, there's one guarantee. This broken world will only leave me empty. But there's a life that healed my heart, and it holds firm when I'm falling apart. I will stand on the truth in the living word of God, because every time it moves my soul, and shapes my every thought, it's alive in me, the very breath I breathe. I'm holding on with all I got to the living word, the living word of God. I can't survive on bread alone, and I hunger and thirst for your words that give me hope. And it goes on like that.
So is this saying that the word of God is living, so meaning it can change, right?
You'd think so, but no, it's apparently it's been unchanging.
Okay, because that's what I don't understand. When you think of something as living, and a living word.
Especially, like a living document. Like,
it's something that can be updated and changed as, you know, circumstances and knowledge changes, right? But this is not saying that.
No.
This is just saying his words are alive no matter when.
Yeah.
Or their words, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess, dude, I don't know. Why don't you write your own words?
Yeah, exactly.
Better than this.
And a lot of times people just read the feel-good parts. Mm. Like, I got a plan for you. I love you.
That's fine.
Like that. Yeah.
Sure. You want to read the feel-good parts? Read the feel-good parts.
Yeah.
I don't care.
The things
care,
that make
man.
You feel special.
But, you know, when you're making legislation to actively harm people, I care.
Yeah, exactly.
I care a lot. And I'm not happy. I'm mad. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
I'm not going to take it anymore, so I want you all to stand up, open your window. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Love you.
Bye.
Work, 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 Sky Moon. This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.